Tuesday to each and every one of you. It's a Tuesday with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And for any of you wondering out there, yes, we have set the all-time record for the wettest summer ever. It's really unbelievable. I don't know if that's an official stat or not. Feels like it. It was raining again when I was walking here. Thankfully, it didn't rain to the point where I am now sitting damp here in the Kia Studios. I am not. I have dried off, and I'm ready to go. Got the full four with you tonight till 10 o'clock. We got a ton to get into. Let's waste no time, because I got a two-parter for y'all tonight on the phones at 404-726-0929. Let's start with the Braves, shall we? There's been a lot of talk about, and rightfully so, the future of the Atlanta Braves because, they are 17 games under 500 after a 3-1 loss last night. Yeah. So we're not talking much about your 2025 Braves at this point, other than who might be called up. Are we going to see Hurston Waldrop again? Is Nacho going to be here for the rest of the way to get an extended look at him? That's going to be your headlines and your storylines for the Atlanta Braves from now until they take a much-needed vacation at the end of September. But it led me to think about this. Okay, if we're going to start showcasing some people, what about the future of a couple of different positions? Specifically, second base. Ozzie Albies, I looked at the numbers, has two club options over the next two seasons in 26 and 27 for $7 million each. You picking those up? If you're Alex Anthopoulos, you look at the season he had this year, unless something crazy happens over the stretch here. But again, it would be during a time in which the games are meaningless. I don't know how much weight you'd want to give it or not. Is Ozzie Albies still a part of the plan? Braves country. Let me know. Are you going to give him another year next year, a comeback as the full-time second baseman, and prove that he still has it? Or are you going to look for an upgrade? It's only $7 million, so keeping him is not really a huge deal. But is it time to move on? Did you see enough this year and with the injuries the last couple of years to feel like he's fallen off? And that if he goes to another team, he's not going to burn you and put up another 30 home run season. So Braves fans, I want to hear from you. 404-726-0929. Does your entire middle infield need to be reconstructed for next season? I definitely don't think it's off the table. He has not been good, and it's not just the offense. That's the problem. That's the really concerning thing. He has been shaky at best on defense for the majority of this year, which is just so weird to see from Ozzie. He is slick with it 9 times out of 10. Not this year. So would you look to upgrade? Again, you're only paying him $7 million, so if you do want to bring him back for one more season, has he earned that in your mind, Braves fans? Has Ozzie earned enough goodwill as one of the more notable players on this team for the last 6-7 years? The contract he got was only $35 million, which is crazy to think about. 7 years for $35 million. He outperformed that contract so bad for the last few years. And now, ironically enough, this year, you could argue he's underperforming. He's been bad. He's been borderline unplayable at times. Because you combine the fact that he's not hitting with the fact that he's not fielding as well as he usually does. It's not good. So, Braves country, that's my question to you. 404-726-0929. Would you consider moving on from Ozzie Albies next season? Or are you going to give him one more year? I don't think there's a problem with that. I think your offense could still be strong enough to survive him at the bottom of the lineup for one more year, or maybe you'd cut bait at the trade deadline if another team wanted to take a shot at trying to, quote-unquote, fix him, as teams love to do. But, guys, I've been joking around, and I think some of y'all get that I'm being serious. I think some of y'all don't. Outside of Ronald Acuña Jr., to me, there is no player on this team I won't at least listen on a discussion for. Strider, you want to call me about him? Okay. Doesn't mean I'm going to accept. But dude's injured. Dude's injury prone. And he has not really gotten fully back to form this year. Now, they always say it's the next year that you come back and you're 100%. And that's what Acuna did when he won his MVP. So we'll see next year. But again, outside of Acuna, who, I mean, he's not playing again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to joke around about it. I wouldn't do it. He's untradeable, in my opinion. Anybody else, though? Olsen, I mean, is he untouchable to you? Riley, is he untouchable to you? He's hurt again. I mean, he's starting to build up a little bit of an injury history here, too. I mean, you want to argue Baldwin's untouchable? Okay. I mean, is Harris untouchable? I mean, think about what we're saying. I'm not saying accept a trade offer. I'm not saying, you know, unless you get 10 top prospects back, you don't make the deal. I'm saying untouchable. Who else on this Braves staff or outside, I mean, the entire team is untouchable? To me, it's just Acuna. I'll listen if you blow me away with a package. Because the other thing, too, I keep harping on, and I'm going to say it again right now, their farm system stinks. So not only do you need to fix the major league roster, you need to fix the minor league roster. Look at all these people they've brought up to pitch from the minors. Not good. It hasn't been good. So Ozzie Albies, the future of Ozzie, would you consider moving on from him this offseason? 404-726-0929. We'll take your calls on that. And also, it's been revealed over the last couple of days that Darnell Mooney is going to miss a couple of weeks, and then he'll be reevaluated. So the hope is he's fully healthy and ready to go week one. Are you concerned at all about the lack of depth at the wide receiver position for the Falcons? You got guys. You got Ray McLeod, who's been good in camp. If Kyle Pitts can contribute anything, that's gold. You know, you got a couple of youngsters in Casey Washington and Chris Blair that are having pretty good camps. You get a DJ Chark in here who's trying to work his way in. Those are dudes. I mean, that's none of those guys even approach the level of a Mooney when he's healthy. So are you concerned at all? That's column B tonight. So column A, Ozzie Albies. Would you consider moving off of him this offseason? Or are you willing to say, we'll pick up the option, it's only $7 million, we'll give you one more year to see if we can get this thing right and see if you're still here for the long term? And then Falcons fans, are you concerned at all about the lack of depth at wide receiver? The talent's there, but is there enough of it? Ray's good, but he's 5'7". You know, not that Mooney's big at all either. Whatever he is, 5'10", 5'11". Casey Washington's unproven. Chris Blair is unproven. DJ Chark is unproven. He had one big season in the NFL. Are you concerned about the depth? Maybe you're not. Maybe you say, hey, Mooney comes back. You know, the other guys are just who they are. They're going to play their roles and we'll be fine. So two questions tonight to get you cooking at 404-726-0929. Braves fans and Falcons fans want to hear from you when we get back. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk some dogs with Caleb Johnson. Yeah, that's right. You heard me right. He's our Hawks insider, Turtle. No, he's also going to stay on top of the dogs for us here, too. So we'll talk some dogs with Caleb at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Busy, busy show planned for you on a Tuesday. We'll take your calls on the Braves and the Falcons next, 404-726-0929. Little double dip on the questions for you tonight, Braves and Falcons fans. I am calling upon you to weigh in. Interesting topics for both. For Falcons fans, Mooney's going to miss a few more weeks. I don't know how quickly he'll be able to get back and into the fold. Hopefully he's rested and healthy and ready to go for week one. But do you think the Falcons have a little issue at their wide receiver depth? Do they have enough dudes that are legit playmakers at the wide receiver spot? Now, again, the key is if Pitts is healthy, he becomes essentially another wide receiver threat because of his skill set. But that is yet to be seen. He's looked good so far in camp, but we have no idea if that's going to translate into the regular season. And then for Braves country, I also put up a poll at CT Tonight 929 at CT Tonight 929. Please give the show page a follow if you haven't already. That's where all the things for the show get posted each and every day. The poll reads as follows. Should the Braves pick up the club option for $7 million on Ozzie Albies, or should they look to upgrade in the offseason? Basically, do you believe this season and the injuries over the last couple of years are an outlier? Or do you think they should, you know, basically say, hey, everybody sucked this year, so we're going to run it back and essentially, you know, what's $7 million? Maybe there's even a way to finagle it. It's even less than that. What's that for, you know, an all-star level second baseman when he's healthy and right and performing the way that we know that he can? So those are the two questions tonight. Feel free to weigh in on one or both of them. And let's start on the phones. 404-726-0929. Saez is up first. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm going to touch on the obvious thing first. He's cheap enough, like you said. I think it's fine to run it back one more year. Everybody else is definitely tradable except for Acuna, obviously. I agree with everything you said. For the Falcons, definitely concerned with the wide receiver situation. You know, Penix is young. He's got a lot of potential, obviously, but the one number one way to hurt a young quarterback is to make him one-dimensional, and if we have to rely on our run game every single week, then that's not going to be good for a young quarterback. I do not like the situation with the receivers, and I think they need to fix that ASAP.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Good stuff there, Saez. Thanks for checking in and leading off tonight at 404-726-0929. It's just not an overly experienced group that has a lot of track record for success in the NFL. And I think to Saez's point, that could be a little bit of a, not detriment, that's too strong, because I think Penix is good enough to overcome it, but certainly something that could not be looked at as a positive in the checkmark column. Could be a little bit of a negative, because you don't have the proven guy. Again, if Mooney's out even for a week, you know, Ray-Ray McCloud as your number two receiver, you know, he's good, and he had a breakout year last year but again, that's Ray-Ray McCloud. That's not, you know, Duper and Clayton for the, you know, back in the day. Like, that's not exactly the 1-2 punch at wide receiver or for modern terms, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. That's not the same effect there. Mooney, when he's healthy and right, that's great. But again, you know the way the NFL is today. You need 3 and 4 guys at each position to rotate in and out throughout the game. We've seen guys like, you know, Kadarius Hodge make an impact here and there. Is Casey Washington going to get in the fray? A guy that you heard from on the station yesterday. I think there's definitely a case to be made, though, that, you know, there's not a ton of guys in the wide receiver room that have a proven track record in the NFL outside of Drake London. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne's up next. Wayne, what do you think? Wayne, going once, going twice. Wayne, call us back. Let's go to Kyle. You're up next. Kyle, go ahead.
First off, when it comes to Ozzie Albies, if you say move on, then you got to turn to the question of, okay, what are we going to do to replace him? Probably nothing. We're going to stick Nacho out there for $700,000, and what are we going to do with that other $6.2 million? Absolutely nothing. Just like we did with Max Fried's money, just like we did with Charlie Morton's money, it came off the books. And we did nothing with it. So I think you run it back with Ozzie, pay him $7 million, because if you don't, you're just going to get worse at the position. What we're going to do is try to get somebody cheap that's probably not very good. So if we run it back with Ozzie and he's cheap and not very good, then we're in the same boat. When it comes to the Falcons, at the end of every year, I'm mad. I swear I'm never going to watch them again. And then it comes time for training camp, and I swear we're going to win the Super Bowl. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm fired up. I hope Mooney's not out long term. But I think if it is a short-term thing, I think we can get by. I agree with the last caller. You don't want a young quarterback with a bunch of inexperienced receivers. But, again, I think if it's short-term, I think we'll be okay. And I think Penix is leading us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for checking in, Kyle. It's funny that – Warren, isn't that funny that that's where Kyle's mind goes? Yeah, they're not even going to spend the other $6 million. They're just going to put it back in their pockets and not even bring a legitimate – MLB second baseman in here. They're just going to eat
him. Hurt. That's the sound of somebody who's hurt.
Yikes. I didn't even think about that. Like, that wasn't even on my mind. You got to be cut deep if that's where your brain goes first. And I agree. I don't think Moody's going to be out. I think the hope is he'll be ready to go for week one. We haven't gotten any word on that just yet. But, again, it's just a matter of, you know, you look at the entirety of the room and you're kind of like, it looks a guy short. It just looks one guy that has a proven track record in the NFL as, you know, a decent wide receiver to be another guy in the mix short. Dan's up next. Dan, what do you think?
Hey, man, what's going on, Chris? Just real quick, man, I want to touch on the Ozzie situation first. I mean, honestly, here, you know, I'm 50-50 on it. You know, I see what's out there. You know, it never hurts to see what's out there. I mean, if they can get something else better for him, then cool. But at the same time, Liberty Media Group doesn't like to spend money. So Ozzie's probably going to be here for that next year, for that $7 million. And they might, you know, like I said, go ahead and run it back. For the Falcons, I am concerned about the wide receiver depth because we don't know what the other guys can do. You know, I know Ray McLeod's a great playmaker. He's a great receiver. You know, the height is a concern, 5'7". So if that's going to be your number two guy, that is a concern. So, you know, it's just some things that they should look into as far as, you know, the receiver thing and everything like that. So, you know, to get more depth, especially if with them not seeing as much for those guys, you know, as well. So that's just my take on that, man.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. Good stuff there from Dan. It's a lot of optics for me right now when it comes to the Falcons. Like, I'm just looking at the depth chart and looking at the room and looking at the guys that they have. And again, as Dan was talking about, they don't strike the fear of God into you outside of Drake London. Even with Darnell Mooney in there, you have your solid, like, it's almost like you have your solid, you know, starters in the NBA, right? So I'll make this comparison. Oh, let me know if it makes sense. Like, Mooney and Drake are your starting five in your wide receiver room. I don't know about the bench. I don't know about the bench. Because the guys that are going to be your bench players, again, Ray McLeod, maybe Kadero Hodge, maybe Casey Washington, Chris Blair. Like, these are the guys, if DJ Chark makes the roster, like, these guys are not going to see no snaps during a game. Like, you know, yes, Drake and Mooney are going to be out there for the overwhelming majority of the plays, but they're not going to play every play. You're going to need some of your backup guys to, you know, make some noise. Who was the guy in the Super Bowl for the Niners a couple of years ago that had the ball go off his fingertips that would have won them the game? That was Juwan Jennings. He was their number three. You know, they had Debo. You know, Ayuk. Those guys were the Mooney and the Drake. It was the third guy. Is that going to be Pitts? Is he going to be able to be that reliable? He hasn't shown it. I'm not entirely sure. 404-726-0929. Alexander's up next. What do you think? Braves, Falcons talk. Go ahead.
What's up, Chris? Yo. Albies, even if you trade them, like the last caller said, at $7 million, great value, but you're not going to get a lot out of him because he doesn't show that pre-2021 form. If he showed that, we could get some value for him. I mean, we could, like you say, start fresh. I had a prior call, so that's exactly what they're going to do, put $700,000 in the infield and play like that. If you really want to do something, I don't want to say it. I don't want to, but you might think about trading Riley, but that's another conversation. I'm a big Darnell Mooney fan, so for him to – I mean, Darnell, speed, he's the perfect co-receiver to go with Drake because he stretches out the defense. So, yeah, and we really don't have a deep room. Hodge, Ray McLeod, the fact that he wears 34, that even worries me even more. So, yeah, I can understand that. So we don't have a wide receiver room that's deep. Hopefully we're going to have to lean on a ground game. And Penix, he's going to have to progress a little bit faster than we want to. But that's what I got right now, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I don't think it's hopefully. They will rely on the running game. Guys, remember, and I appreciate the phone call, Alexander, great stuff. The Falcons are going to run the damn ball. I mean, please do not get that twisted. I know we're talking about the wide receiver room, but again, this team, when they're at their best, it's Bijan and it's Tyler. It's those two guys running the rock down the field. And then Penix threading the needle when he needs to. You know, this isn't going to be – this is going to be closer to, you know, what the Giants did in their Super Bowl runs, where they were able to slice and dice you with the running game, and then Eli would hit a big play. And I think that's going to be what Penix is going to be tasked to do. Oren, if I said Penix throws per game – over under 32.5 attempts per game. You think he goes over that? Because I feel like more than that's a lot.
Yeah, 32 is a big number.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, you think this is going to be an air raid type? I don't.
It's not, no.
I think Bijan's going to get... Okay, so Bijan over under 24.5 touches a game. Is he going to get 18 to 19 carries and 5 or 6 catches a game? I think he is. And Tyler will get whatever, you know, a portion of that. Guys, I don't think Penix is throwing it a million times a game. So great stuff on the phones. Appreciate everybody checking in on the Braves and the Falcons. A little double dip tonight. Just figured we'd change it up. And the polls catching fire a little bit too as well. Should the Braves pick up the club option for $7 million on Ozzie Albies for next season or look to upgrade? Go vote at CT tonight, 929. All right, we make the switch. Our intrepid Hawks reporter puts on his dog hat, and we talk some dogs next with Caleb Johnson on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. We are going to talk some dogs with our next guest as we transition from the end of the NBA offseason and all the big moves to dogs are getting ready to play in just a few short weeks, and Caleb Johnson going to be all over it for us. And Caleb, I want to start here with a little bit of Hawks news that's just dropping today. I want to get your take on this. Let's listen to a quick soundbite. Mark Spears, ESPN senior NBA reporter, was on today talking about how Trae Young feels about the lack of movement, let's call it, on a max extension.
There's a new front office in Atlanta that's trying to make decisions, but what I'm hearing now at this point, and you could tell by Trey's tweet, and I saw him during the finals, I think he's disappointed that it hasn't come. It hasn't been offered. So don't be surprised at this point that he plays this out and sees what happened next summer. But to me, Trey has nothing to prove.
Okay, Caleb Johnson, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I would say if there's anyone in the national media who would have a good line on what Trey Young thinks, and would not necessarily overspeak, it is Mark Spears, because, in fact, Trey and Mark did a bit of a panel back when the NBA Finals were going on in Oklahoma City, of course, where Trey Young is kind of somewhat from in that area. And so, I mean, after seeing the Micah Parsons tweet, you know, or the Trey's tweet about Micah Parsons in relation to, yeah, if a guy wants to stay in a place long-term, you should get a deal done. That wasn't just about Micah Parsons, obviously. I think that was clearly Trey trying to say, hey, you know, he has not been shy in wanting to be in Atlanta and wanting to make this work long-term. I'm sure it's just a matter of getting a number that both sides are comfortable with, because as much as it would make sense for the Hawks to not give Trey a max extension, because, well, that just is going to take up so much cap room and makes it more difficult to bring in additional players. That's what Trey, I'm sure, is going to want to. He's going to want the max. His agent is going to be going after the max. And I was of the opinion that, hey, based on the fact that Trey does want to be here long term, maybe this thing can work towards you don't give him the full max, but you still give him somewhat of a pay raise and enough that he's comfortable. And then De'Aaron Fox went and signed a max with the San Antonio Spurs this past week and really kind of, I think, blew up what was probably some positive negotiations that, if I have to imagine, if Trey's camp right now is going, hey, we're not talking to you on Cisella unless you are giving us the max, then there's not going to be a conversation to be had. And then, yeah, maybe there is a point in which Trey just plays this contract out and, you know, kind of sees what happens at the end of the season. So it's just it's not the biggest deal if a deal doesn't get done this offseason. It just would make things a little bit more clear for this front office. But, yeah, it's certainly been an interesting few days with you know, De'Aaron Fox getting that deal done and trying to figure out, do the Hawks just bite the bullet and go, hey, we're going to pay the guy because we have associated ourselves with him and we want him around long term.
Okay, I'm not asking you to play pop psychologist, but I guess I am. Why would Trey Young accept anything other than the max?
I think if there's a world in which Trey accepts anything less than the max, it's because he truly believes in Ansi Salay and this front office and them putting a team around Trey to be a contender. Now, I would think the only way that happens is if the Hawks go on a really impressive run, you know, this upcoming season and they get deep into the playoffs. And then they go, hey, Trey, if you'll just take a little bit less, we can put a better team around you and we can make things work. I don't think right now that Trey would want to take anything less than the max because, if we're honest, it hasn't been until literally this past offseason that the Hawks have done things that make you strongly believe, oh, okay, this is a true team that makes sense and fits with Trey's skill sets in order to have the best success. Most of the time it's been, well, that's a move that I could see working out, and that's a move that I don't really get that one, but maybe it'll all work out, and then we've seen how this all has sort of played out. I also, there is this factor, Chris, to take into account, because this has certainly played a part in times past, which is Tony Ressler is not just an owner who stands by and lets the people who are in charge make the decisions. Now, he will come out and say that publicly, but we know pretty much for a fact that in times past, especially following their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, that there were deals being worked on that Tony came in and said, get it done. I don't care what it takes, get it done. And so that meant that the Hawks overpaid for certain players, and then things didn't work out. And now you found yourself in a really sort of interesting situation where the Hawks traded John Collins to the Jazz essentially as a salary dump. And have since there have been pieces that have gone in place that include the Hawks trading George Niang to Boston, who now George Niang today got traded to Utah as a part of the Utah Jazz John Collins trade exception. So it kind of feels a bit circular that it's kind of gone all the way around from those times. But yeah, that's certainly one of those things that I don't know if you gave Trey the max that you'd be looking at it 3 years down the road as, man, the Hawks really overpaid Trey. I think it's just a matter of roster construction. If you're staying under the cap as the Hawks have been doing, that in order to, you know, avoid these tax aprons that can pop up on you, especially if you decide to start spending some more money, that you just want to keep his number as low as you can possibly get him.
Talking all things Hawks and dogs with Caleb Johnson here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you give him a follow at ATL Johnson 18. How much of the last couple of years of lack of success for the Hawks do you think is playing into this?
You know, I think that's certainly a part of it, I would say, for ownership and then for a guy like Trey because he has been here. I think the interesting part of this whole, you know, kind of puzzle piece that's getting put together is Auncey, is the fact that, I mean, the guy hasn't been on the job but a few months and he is already being looked at amongst the league as one of the better GMs just because of the moves that he's been able to pull off so far. It makes me think of kind of how Alex Anthopoulos came in with the Braves when he started doing things that caught everybody a little bit off guard. And then you still felt like, well, I'm getting a good deal. And then, you know, other GMs are looking at it months later going like, wow, I really got fleeced there. That I think it kind of reached a point where Alex has had a little bit of a tougher time pulling off deals because I do think teams are like, if Alex is taking a look at him, maybe we should take a second look. I'm wondering if we kind of get to that point with Auncey. But I think he's the one part of this whole puzzle piece that's really kind of caused this thing to go in a more positive direction, where I do think if there is someone who can convince Trey of doing something best for the team, it would be Auncey. And it's based on how he has just treated this particular offseason. I still think it's going to take more than just this offseason. But certainly on paper, this team looks like it could be really competitive. And now we get to wait and see. Is this another season of you know, kind of disappointment where injuries play a part? Because certainly I think that would be a part of it for Trey, too, of him wanting to stick around. You know, if Jalen Johnson runs into a big injury, it's like, okay, maybe it's time to do something different. Or you know, if it's someone else, you know, if the Kristaps thing doesn't work out and he's only able to play 40 games, then I think, you know, the kind of the calculus changes and you evaluate – what you want to do a little bit differently. So that's why I've been this offseason thinking that a deal doesn't end up getting done, but I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
All right. We got our first coaches poll out, the most recent one for this season, Caleb, and UGA comes in at number 4. Too high, too low, just right.
You know, it's interesting. So I guess as much as I've paid attention, I hadn't seen the coaches poll. Who are the three teams above Georgia right now? Because that doesn't sound too crazy, but I guess I need to be reminded of the teams.
Yeah, Texas is number 1, Ohio State is 2, and Penn State's number 3.
All right, I mean, Penn State, how cute. Like, haven't we been doing this for a while now where – no shot at our boss Mike Conti, but his Nittany Lions has certainly been a team that I think the expectations are constantly there. And you know, you talk about a team much better on paper than they are when it's actually things are played out, especially in high pressure games. But for a preseason poll, I'm fine with it. I mean, certainly you have to tip your cap to Ohio State. They're the national champions, and they took it pretty like there was no doubt in my mind when I watched that national championship at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that Ohio State was anything other than the best team in the country. And so for them to take that, I think certainly the hype around Texas because of how competitive they were last year, and the simple fact is people believe very strongly in Arch Manning, whether that's right or wrong, and they don't believe very strongly in Gunnar Stockton. Now, is that because one has a more well-known last name? Probably, because I think the question marks should be just as strong around Arch Manning as they should be around Gunnar Stockton. You've got two guys who are unproven. who didn't get a lot of playing time. And when they did get playing time, I think it was a bit incomplete and inconsistent. And so certainly because Arch has the last name Manning, he is going to get a lot of credit for things that he has not accomplished yet. But the skill set is certainly there. I think, you know, kind of with that being the case, I'm fine with Ohio State and Texas being up there. I would probably put Georgia at number three, but I think a lot of their roster right now is a bit unproven, especially their defensive line. Like I was talking on a podcast recently about the fact that Christian Miller has got to be a guy who steps up and takes the place of guys who have been before him. Your Jalen Carter, your Jordan Davis, your Nazir Stackhouses, like those types of guys. I think Christian Miller's has got to be the next one in that line to step up. And otherwise, people are asking a lot of questions about who Georgia can be. You're giving them credit a lot, really, because of Kirby and because of what you've seen in the past. But certainly, you know, they don't have the toughest test right out of the gate. This is kind of a good warm-up for them getting Marshall week one.
All right, Caleb, we'll be switching our coverage full-time to UGA. I was planning on doing it tonight, but then this news about Trey and the contract just dropped from Mark Spears. So I was like, oh, well, perfect. We're having Caleb on anyway. So we'll see what happens with the contract for Trey. But we'll be talking dogs, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. The weather, I know we're getting false fall right now, but I am ready for fall. I'm ready for football. I'm ready to get this going.
Yeah, me too. All right, my friend, we'll talk next week.
All right, have a good one.
All right, that is Caleb Johnson there. Yeah. I guess what it ultimately comes down to, do the Falcons trust Trey Young as the face of the the Hawks, the Falcons. Do the Hawks trust Trey Young as the face of the franchise? I got such a weird, I was like, oh, wait, what did I say? And that's the debate we've been having for the longest time now, right? Interesting. Okay. All right, when we get back, speaking of college ball, let's do five college football true and false questions with Oren. Got a busy 7 o'clock hour coming up. Braves and Brewers are getting underway. I guess I'll keep you posted on that. Yay! It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10.